You're listening to Radiotopia Presents from PRX's Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
As you probably know by now, my mother and I spend quality time together on Sundays, but that isn't a new tradition. In my early years, every Sunday morning, she'd come into my room at 7 a.m. to wake me up for church. Early service, Catholic Mass. I'd put on a sweater and slacks, black and white stride right saddle shoes, and zombie my way down the hall and out the door. 10 minutes later, we'd pull up to Holy Family. Though I was always slow going, by the time we got to the door to church, I'd be excited about taking part in all the rituals. The holy water, the genuflecting before sliding into one of the wooden pews, the shaking hands and wishing peace into another person, the kneeling, and my 5 minutes of independence when my mother ventured down the center aisle with her hands ready to receive wafer and wine as body and blood. But as I got older, it got old. It wasn't as exciting as going to church with my family down south where the choirs would stomp a hole in the floor and what everyone called the spirit would be sending people into enthusiastic convulsion and the preacher would sweat through his suit and robe, screaming amen at the top of his lungs, loud enough to be heard in heaven. And also, I got old enough to notice my brother never had to go, my father neither. Plus, I had to go to Sunday school, which I hated because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday school was already enough. So eventually, I just didn't want to go no more. But I had to because my mother made me. I'm Jason Reynolds, and this is My Mother Made Me, a podcast from Radiotopia Presents about some of the things my mom has taught me about life. And a big part of that teaching was in the belief in a higher power.
When you were little and couldn't think for yourself, that was part of my job to introduce you to what I felt was something that you can fall back on and this and that and the other.
So, to be clear, she made me go to church. Until she didn't.
You're entitled to your own opinion. And then it's never crossed my mind that I've raised this monster and he don't believe in nothing, this and that. No. My whole thing with you and everybody else, I'm not telling you that you have to believe in Jesus Christ. I feel you should believe in a higher power. There's something higher than you. There's something greater than you. There is something that is greater than who you are.
Of all the things my mom's taught me, this has to be one of the greatest. She was raised in the church, but changed denominations as she got older and also studied lots of other ways to feel connected, so she was completely open-minded when it came to this vast idea around a higher power. I remember telling her I didn't want to go to church no more. That I had questions about judgment and punishment, questions about who gets to go to heaven and who doesn't. Perhaps I felt comfortable saying this to her because of our relationship. Or perhaps it was because she told me the stories about how she had some of these same questions when she was a young girl. And her response was simply, "Okay, you don't have to. and I'll support and help you navigate whatever path you feel is the right path for you. Just remember that higher power. I couldn't have been much older than 12, 13. And when I think back now on that conversation, on the ease of it, on the understanding and respect she showed me, I recognize that moment not only as an act of love, but also an act of courage, a courage she attributes to her own mother.
When I was a little girl, my mother was really my idol. I adored my mother. Strong woman, brave woman, very courageous. Stand up to anybody, black, white, didn't matter to her. Because she was vocal.
I don't have lots of memories of my grandmother, but the few I do have of her, Daisy Belle Fuma, or Belle as she was affectionately called, are indeed of her being vocal.
Had a reputation of being one of the best basketball players, you know. My mother could drive anything. I admired that, how she could get on a tractor and drive a tractor. In the country, we had outdoor toilets. My mother was sick and tired of a stinky toilet, so she built her kids. Our family, a Cadillac double toilet, outdoor toilet, with two stools in it. Believe it or not, she built it. The structure.
It takes a certain kind of person to be willing to sacrifice blood, sweat, and tears for her family to have a more comfortable place to put their, you know. Requires vision and the discernment to know there's more than one way to do everything. And that we have the ability to try new methods and build new things, even if it requires us to be introduced to new parts of ourselves. My mother knew this, saw it modeled by her mother. So her allowing me space from church and also introducing me to her spaces outside the church was her way of building a Cadillac toilet for me, a place for me to sit and rest and clear out. And yes, even a place where we bonded, safe in a shelter built by an emotional hammer and nail. This bond, it's been unbreakable from the beginning. As a matter of fact, one of the spaces this bond was spoken about, besides the car and the kitchen table, was on the couch in the office of a woman named Reverend Diane Nagorka. Though a reverend, Diane wasn't my mother's minister in that way. She was my mother's psychic. Yes, my mother had been seeing psychics since she was in her early 20s, another part of her spiritual exploration. And according to my mom, when I came along, all her readings changed.
She could never read me without picking you up. I never had to ask basically about you, because she said that you just comes into to the reading, and it's because of our spirits that we are so closely connected, because we've been together in so many lifetimes. And she said this would be the last lifetime that we would be together. So that's what she told me. I'll never forget that.
Makes me sad I ain't gonna see you again.
You will see me again.
There are a lot of things that form this bond between me and my mom. Our ability to communicate honestly with one another, our desire to always make the other proud, our senses of humor, the fact that we're friends, the reality that there's no way around it. She wiped my butt and there's a good chance I'll end up wiping hers someday. There's something else between us that's been a kind of glue, something else that bonds us in a way I actually don't think either of us has ever truly given much thought. And that's our deep love for her oldest son, my older brother, Alan. It was early on a Saturday morning when I drove up to Baltimore to see him, intending to take him to breakfast and reminisce over French toast and coffee. I told him about this podcast, and because he always says yes to me, he said yes to being interviewed, which was a big deal. Because though we're close, there are certain things my brother don't like to talk much about. And though he knows he can trust me, there are wounds I know not to pick at. Not for private curiosity and definitely not for public consumption. Nonetheless, I was honored, grateful he would open up to me. It had been about 6 months since we last seen each other, and we were so eager to catch up, we never even made it to the restaurant. We just sat in my car in the parking lot outside his apartment and talked and talked.
Do you remember meeting her? You were what, six? I think I was either 8 or 9.
Alan Ernest Reynolds II, named after our father who refused to make him a junior. Young Alan to our family, Big Al to his friends. You can ask anyone who knows him, and they'll say he's the kindest, most gentle, most compassionate man in the world. Now. But when he was a kid, he was none of those things. Not to me, not to our mother. See, Alan was her stepson, but we don't acknowledge steps in our family unless we're talking about steps forward. A son is a son, a mother, a mother. So when he came into her life and she came into his, she did the best she could to give him the love he needed, the love he deserved.
When I first met her, I mean, I was like, you know, she was a nice person. But then, you know, when he said he, you know, was getting ready to marry her, I was like, what about, you know, mom?
Right.
Yeah.
Alan's mother and our father were never married. As a matter of fact, they never even really dated. But whatever interaction they'd had brought forth a child, a little boy our father would eventually gain sole custody of.
You know, he sat me down and talked to me. I was confused because, you know, I was like, why y'all taking me away from mom? And he was like, well, you know, your mother can't take care of you. She's not getting rid of you, son. She, you know, just couldn't take care of me because she couldn't discipline me.
Because you was a wild kid.
Yeah, I was a wild. Every time I misbehaved, she would buy me a toy. So, yeah.
And then you met Isabel.
Right, and all that changed.
The thing about our mother is she's sweet and smart and open and all that, sure. But back then, she was tough. A disciplinarian. Only problem was she didn't really know how to best discipline Alan because he was different. Different in a way that we didn't have language for then, but we do now. Neurodivergent, traumatized, and a host of other things that, had we just had the information, could have helped us understand what my mother couldn't in Alan's youth. He was a soft-spoken kid, a shy boy. He spent most of his young life drawing pictures of monsters, reading comic books, and playing with bugs. He was bullied in school, betrayed by his friends, dealt bad hand after bad hand. Because of that, he's had social anxiety dating all the way back to middle school. And he's had to carry that the majority of his life.
You get to middle school, and now the bullying begins.
Right.
Do you remember the first time? Do you remember, like, what was it?
Yeah, the first time this guy came to me, and he hit me, right? And I was like, I thought he was playing at first. And then he hit me again. He said, man, I need some money, lunch money or something, man. He said, you know, every time, you know, I come to you, you got to give me money. And I got scared, so that's what I started doing. I would, you know, like when I did the little chores around the house, whatever money I got, I would give it to him so that he would leave me alone. Mm. And then, you know, after a while, other people started picking with me.
Did you ever tell mom?
No. I was afraid. At that time, you know, I didn't trust her. I didn't like her, so I didn't know. I just kept it to myself. I figured as long as I paid them off, they'd leave me alone.
And though they never really left him alone, the bullying would continue all the way through high school, he did discover holes to climb into. Holes to either protect him or help him disappear. Some safe like the woods he'd run around in whenever he'd skip school, which was pretty much every day. In those woods, he could be the king of his own world, where he could dig up bugs and crustaceans and for a few hours a day, peace. But there were also other holes that weren't so safe. Holes that were deeper than he'd needed and darker than he'd expected. Holes found under the caps of bottles of cheap wine our mother kept stocked in our home bar. My brother had his first sip at 13, enough to numb him. And he'd continue to tap the spirits, moving on to vodka and gin, filling the bottles with water so our mother wouldn't find out. Enough to almost kill him. But there was one hole he almost never came out of. A hole that felt both deep and dark, but also safe and warm. And that's the hole of himself. The one he never had to run to and never had to leave. A hole that could become a home. As a kid, this kind of concerned me. Made me wonder if he'd ever be able to make it in the world. But now I realize that even though I may want more for him, he's been making it just fine. And I'm proud of my brother. He's just a homebody, you know? Besides work as a custodian and his weekend movie dates, the dark, quiet theater, his personal, public, safe space with his girlfriend, he's pretty much chilling in his apartment. He has not traveled to another state since our family trips as children. He has not been to a party, maybe ever. He has been to one concert, which I took him 2 years ago, which wasn't the most pleasant experience. Too many people. He rarely interacts with members of our extended family and for years has even excused himself during holiday dinners to eat alone. Not because he doesn't love us, he does, but because he's more comfortable by himself. And on top of all this, for as long as I can remember, he's been terrified of flying. You know who else has a fear of flying? Our mother. If she has to fly to get there, she ain't going. As a matter of fact, the first thing I did when I started making a little money was try to take her on a trip because she has this fascination with the wonders of the world. But when it was time to make it happen, she couldn't bring herself to get on a plane. And I'm not knocking her. I've had my own anxieties with flying. It's just strange to see her struggle with it because for so much of my childhood, she was flying around the country for work stuff, bringing me back souvenirs from her travels. Now, having grown a bit more cautious as she's gotten older, her souvenir collection comes from her regular visits, we can call them vacations, to Costco. I wonder if she'd fly there if she had to. I bet she would.
You the one turning the air off.
Well, you didn't turn it on. It was already on, wasn't it?
Fortunately for her, she don't have to. It's Sunday again. And occasionally, my mom and I break free from her house and go run errands. This was one of those days. The thing about running errands with my mother is that everything, and I do mean everything she needs, she gets from one place and one place only.
Remember?
Yeah, I did. But
it's so
hot in here.
It's so hot.
I ain't
say
nothing.
Why you ain't say nothing?
Why it's so hot.
Hey, so I'm sweating. I'm sitting here like, why did she turn the air? I thought she was cold.
No. Cold, I'm sweating.
As I'm sure you figured out by now, we ain't in no jumbo jet. Nope, we are in her old Volvo, which is all we need to get us to the country of Costco. Costco Island. Gotta have a passport to get in and everything.
And I told her, I said, you can round up these guys when you need them to do something for you and stop getting people who don't do a good job because her doors and everything, they're not sealed tight enough. I said, those guys don't know what they're doing. And say, babe, because you're going to get off in a few minutes. You're going to get off at the next exit.
She's catching me up on family drama about siblings and cousins. There's always so much. A tradition whenever we're on our way to the land of too much.
And I told her, I said, you need somebody to do that sealing for you. I take this version right here. I said, Rosella can do that for you, but I know he's high, but sometimes you have to pay for it. Now those guys put her back door on. She got a big gap in it. I said, because they're not well trained.
All the things up here make her right.
Oh, Costco. There you go. She can really leave right.
Oh, perfect, baby.
Your favorite place.
It ain't just mine. I talk to the other girls, and they tell me all the time.
What is it, though? Why is it that?
Say, Isabella, if you're depressed, go to Costco. Costco will definitely get you out of your mood.
So maybe it's not a vacation. Maybe it's therapy.
What is it about Costco that makes that the case?
Because there's so much to look at.
Got you.
And you just take your mind off
it. It's a good distraction.
What it is, a distraction.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Got your mask, your wig, everything strapped in.
Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that ridiculous?
It's supposed to be a discount store, ain't it?
Yeah.
Why is the tree $900? They already got Christmas stuff out. I need a hand towel, but I only want one.
Well, she might as well get it from me. I've got tons of them. I can't stand hand towels.
All right, well, it ain't good. I can take one of yours.
Sure, glad to give it to you.
What is this for? For dishes?
Yeah, that's a spray on. You want them for the dishwasher?
For the dishwasher. Like these, you want one?
Yeah, I'm gonna get one. I don't want the one on top, baby. Never get the one on top.
Never get the one on top. Gotcha.
It's going up on the price. This is
what happens to y'all when y'all come in. Now I get it. I finally reached the age that I understand exactly what happens.
Exactly. You got it.
Now I got to tell my friends, like, guys, we've been teasing them all this time. Now we're reaching the age where it all starts to make sense.
Favorite people in here I go to, but they're all not working.
You got favorites in here?
Oh yeah. Favorite cashiers.
Do you know their names?
No.
As my mother and I paid for our stuff, who am I kidding? I actually did most of the shopping. A case of ginger tea, 1,000 laundry detergent pods, a big box of those delicious airplane cookies. We head toward the door, passing Costco's strange makeshift eatery.
When I was younger, I thought this place had the best pizza in the world and them hot dogs.
You learned better, didn't you? The hot dogs are still good if we beat hot dogs.
I don't know if I can eat no hot dogs no more, but they remember.
I haven't had a hot dog in years.
All right, brother, how you doing?
Funny, my brother Alan, as far as I know, ain't had a hot dog in years either. Year after year, cookout after cookout, he'd stack his plate with everything but a hot dog. And this isn't just something I've noticed, it's something we've talked about. As a matter of fact, I can remember the exact moment he swore him off. It was the day my mother found out about his drinking, and we'd had hot dogs for dinner. Let's just say he was sick, and his room smelled like hot dogs for days. When I think about that night, sometimes I laugh and wonder if he did what we all do when we get too drunk, bargain with God. Did he pray that if the Almighty could get him out of this, he would never drink again? Even though he never even went to church back then.
Why do you think mine never make you go to church with us?
I asked him about this back in the car.
I had to go to church every Sunday at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you and Dad.
I don't know, because, I mean, we used to go sometimes. It was boring to me. I didn't care too much, you know, because I wasn't getting anything out of it, but it was boring. You weren't that careful. I mean,
Right. How do you feel about God these days? Like, do you have any sort of belief in any of that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Did you back then?
I didn't, right. But I do now.
Yeah. Why? I'm curious. Because we don't talk about this. Why?
I'm not a praying person, but I need to pray more, though. But when I do pray, you know, things happen. And I know it has to be a higher power. Hmm. I believe in that. I really believe that there's a higher power. And, things happen for a reason, you know. I really believe that. Hmm. There has to be more than just this. There has to be more.
And I've told my brother that I think he's probably closer to whatever that higher power is than most of us. Because he's been through so much, it's made him more of a compassionate, empathetic person. He could never call someone stupid or ugly. I mean, this dude can't even hurt insects.
And there's something about that feels connected to whatever that higher power is. Right? Like, yeah. There's maybe something else. Like, there's, like, the higher power that exists around us, and then there's, like, the higher power that maybe exists within us. Which actually leads me to this last question, which is, like, are we still going to Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico. Yep. A few months ago, Alan asked me if I could take him to Puerto Rico. Actually, my mother told me on one of our trips to Costco that he talked to her about it. Admittedly, I ain't believe it, and told her I'd wait and see if he mentioned it to me. And he did. told me he wanted to know what it was like to be on an island. But when I told him he'd have to have a valid ID, which he didn't have at the time, he told me he'd get that sorted out and get right back to me. I want to be honest about not believing he'd follow through. I also want to be honest about how elated I was when he did.
Yeah, check this out. Hold up. I did it. Oh, it's in the, I got my ID.
You got your ID?
I got it. That's done.
All right. So we going.
We going.
Okay.
We going. I got the ID, so there's no excuse.
I'm proud of you, man. That's, damn, that's dope.
I did it.
Of course, I couldn't wait to tell our mother. The next day, which happened to be Sunday, I blabbed all about it.
He told me, I asked him again, I said, look, man, you know, you said you want to go to Puerto Rico. And he jumped up and he got excited because he went and got his license.
You got his driver's license now?
He went and got his identification so he can travel. His ID expired. You know, what do you think about him wanting something new or having new experience? Or
I think it's a sign of growth. I really do. First of all, Jace, I think he's got more confidence now. He feels good about himself. He has a job that they respect him on. And he wants something out of life. And I think that is a plus. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I really and truly do. There's a higher power working with him.
Yeah.
It's like it's an unseen thing.
But maybe it is seen. Maybe this version of the higher power is something we can actually lay eyes on. That higher power that I think my brother has is the same higher power I think my mother has, that I think all of us have. But it isn't necessarily a spiritual thing, or at least not just a spiritual thing. Maybe it's this idea that there's more to who we are, to what our lives can be. More than the holes we construct for ourselves. More than the holes of comfort or the holes of catastrophe. More than our Costcos.
I wish one of these days we could all go on a trip. I know I'm pushing it, but I just figured.
We might. You know, we might. Who knows? Don't have to fly. We can go on a road trip.
We can go on a road trip.
We could go on a road trip. We can do anything we want to do. Tap into that higher version of ourselves and be inspired by my older brother who perhaps has never seen himself as an inspiration.
We might. I'm getting older and I'm...
You get older and what? And what?
I need to enjoy life probably more. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would you do to occupy some of this time? I mean, this was always a thing when we tried to figure this out, right?
Well, I'm trying to figure it out now, baby. I really am. And I was talking.
We're back in the car, all our oversized goodies from Costco stored safely in the trunk of the Volvo. The truth is, I enjoy my time bopping around the warehouse of everything, but I think my mother and I both know that Costco don't actually have everything. And if she isn't careful, Costco can become a hole, too. The kind of hole that might convince her it's enough when really it might be keeping her from something more, something new, or from something old, a part of her she's never met or a part of her she's long forgotten.
Well, I'm trying to figure it out now, baby. I really am. There's a couple of things I really want to do and I wanted to learn in calligraphy.
You want to learn how to do calligraphy?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And the place that I was thinking
I found out later that my mother wants to learn calligraphy because she wants to use it to write me a letter. You know, that letter. The one I prompted her to write over our birthday lunch. If that ain't the sweetest thing in the world, then I don't know what is.
And the other thing that I want to learn to do is sign language.
Right.
Those are two things I really would like to do.
Calligraphy and sign language. Maybe this higher power I speak of comes in the form of understanding my loved ones when they aren't speaking. Maybe it's in the bright smile of your older brother, happy to see you. Or in his shoulders, once slumped, now rolled back. or an inflated chest, or a strut into a crowded space. Or maybe this higher power is in the reactivation of your curiosity, or in imagining an island or admitting that you aren't one, nor is anyone around you. Or maybe it's in wanting to get up and move your body, a little exercise, a little dancing. Maybe it's in saying no to things you've been saying yes to for so long, or in saying yes to things you've been closed off to because of fear and insecurity. Maybe that's this higher power. Maybe it's in remembering who your mama is, who her mama was, and trying to locate that moxie in your own knuckles and kneecaps. Maybe it's in forgiving those who harmed you or moving past your past. Maybe this higher power is therapy, or trying to better understand your kids, or giving grace to your parents. Maybe it's in humanizing everyone, including yourself. Maybe it's in sleeping in, or learning to fly, or skipping church, or learning to pray, or even spending hours practicing how to write I love you like it's art. How to add a little extra to it to make it look as incredible as it feels. My Mother Made Me is a production of Radiotopia Presents and is written and narrated by me, Jason Reynolds, with my mother, Isabel Reynolds, and for this episode, my older brother, Alan Reynolds. The series is produced by Mark Pagan and edited by Julie Shapiro, with production support from Yuri Lizardo. Julie Shapiro and Audrey Martovich are executive producers for Radiotopia Presents. Special thanks to my homeboy Jason Griffin for the cover art, and to my younger brother Christian Reynolds for killing the theme song. Mixing, sound design, and original score is by Ian Koss. Radiotopia Presents debuts limited run artist-owned series from new and original voices. For more information, visit radiotopiapresents.fm.
Radiotopia from PR.